The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Monday. Welcome back. Hope the weekend was okay, at least. Maybe it was better than that for some of you. I know a lot of others are really struggling, and I can't tell you how much we care about that and we're concerned about that. And I wish there was something that could be done. Best thing I can contribute is as much honest information as I can, and through the good graces of some wonderful people who are here on the program as regulars. It's kind of like a big family thing, and I think many of you feel that way. We are able to pretty much get a grasp on what's going on now. Of course, the evildoers are master sleight-of-hand artists, and they hide most everything. And when you understand that most of the world is controlled by international Zionism, and you understand how they operate. And if you don't get what I'm saying, just think Jeffrey Epstein, bribery, blackmail, threats. That's one way that they do it. And it's an amazing thing to consider that 0.002% of the world population is running the planet. For all intents and purposes, it is running the planet. And they get into a business, a targeted business. They'll get somebody hired in there, and that person will be promoted, and then they'll bring their own in. That's how they do it. Any group would do that. Any group who is on a mission to dominate and subjugate, like this group is. And I'm sure in the 4.5 billion years of this planet, there have been many other examples like this over the incredible number of bipedal civilizations that have probably in all likelihood arisen and then destroyed themselves on this planet. And there's a great book out there. It's A Canticle for Leibowitz. And you might want to read that sometime. It makes that case. It's a very good book. Donald Jeffries has gotten through another weekend. One of the bravest individuals I know, because he is living literally on his truth and reality, which is to stay the hell away from the biological weapon called the COVID vaccine. And it is a killer. And we have not seen any substantial case where someone who has been severely or seriously injured recover from the injury. They only get worse. And that's the truth. And I wish I could tell you other things, but I'm not going to lie. Hello, Don. Welcome back.
How you doing, Jeff? I heard Piers Morgan. I don't know if you heard about that. I guess they've invented something new. What is it called? Vax? Some stupid new syndrome that anyhow, he's apparently hospitalized from being vaccinated too much. And of course he blames the non-vaccinated. Naturally, what else is he going to do? So
wait a minute. Whoa. Excuse me. Piers Morgan, that communist, greasy, mucus covered fraud intellect, is in the hospital from being vaxxed too much.
That's what he's saying. I saw a picture of him. Yeah. I saw a picture of him in a hospital bed, and they were saying he's lashing out at the non-vaccinated for causing him to be vax. What was it called? Vax vaccine immune deficiency syndrome or something. It's some typical new stupid
syndrome.
Let me
look it up. I'll look it up.
Yeah,
it's bullshit, is what it is.
Yeah, of course.
He got shot up. He's been injured. He can't take that responsibility. He's a whore. Forget him.
Well, and that's the problem that, you know, I said in my book, Masking the Truth. I've said many times is that the society, I mean, they are way more committed to this lie, what I call the greatest psyop in the history of the world, the COVID narrative. They're way more committed to this than they have been with any of their other narratives. JFK assassination, 9/11, anything.
Oh, this is the big move. You're right.
Yeah. They are, and these are people that I'm talking about, the millions, the ones that outnumber us that bought it, that panicked and kept taking the home PCR test that, you know, Dr. Kerry Mullis told you, the guy who invented the test, this is not going to detect any virus. This is worthless, before he died conveniently right before COVID came out. But, these people have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, and they spent so much time jumping on us when the media was calling us all the names that they call us, and so many of us are being censored and shadow banned on the social media. And, you know, now I have the book out there that I think is the most shadow banned book in the world. Just the other day, somebody reviewed it. You know, the Amazon blocks reviews from getting there. So many people told me they reviewed it and they never put it up. But somebody, I got through to me and just said, hey, I just wanted to let you know I put a review up. I used my daughter's account, so it got through, so it's up there. However, you have one less review total. So I think I had 25 reviews before this guy wrote the review. After he wrote the review, I somehow had 24. So that's shadow ban. That's what they do. And so they're playing those kind of games.
Because they
fear, and, you know, they fear the truth about this, because this is something that America is almost.
I concur with you. I think that they fear the truth, but I think they view it honestly from the perspective of the level of control that they have hacked out of the living flesh of an advanced species on the planet.
Yeah.
I think they look at it as a nuisance, just a nuisance. I think that they're so arrogant now. Anyway, they're not really worried about this. They own the alt news world. They've created it. All the big platforms are controlled. Yes. They all are.
If you saw the Twitter Spaces, and, you know, Twitter Spaces was a great thing. You know, I discovered it a few years ago. My friends told me
about
it.
What is a Twitter Space?
It's like a cyber town hall where you can call a Twitter Space and you can title it whatever you want. So I would title it JFK or whatever. And and initially, I was getting hundreds of people in there, and it was really cool. You know, it was because what happens is then
real time. It's like chat format, real time kind of thing.
Yes. And they have their emojis. You can see who's in there. You can see how many people there, and they'll send you a message that someone wants to speak. So you'll raise their hand in a cyber sense. So you put them under the speaker mode, and then you call on them when you want. And people go one by one. So it was great.
They speak in an auditory sense. They talk. They don't speak through chat mode. Okay.
No. Right. So you get a message that says,
Alex Jones, please let me speak.
Right. Exactly. It's a really nice way to do it. It's a format where, especially somebody like me, I'm going to let them talk, you know, say their fill. But soon my shadow ban started extending into spaces. So I wasn't getting anybody in there. And
this is Twitter.
Well, this was then. Now, Twitter, I want to say, in defense of Elon Musk, whatever he is, my shadow ban there is loosening up a bit. Now, I don't know, because I did his Twitter spaces a couple weeks ago for the first time in a long time. And we had a lot of people. I think we had thousands. But it wasn't me. I wasn't the one running it. This guy out of Australia, one of my fans in Australia, is a really nice guy, but he has a really big fan base. So that's why we drew the people we did. I don't know if I called one. I suspect, you know, it might be the same story as before. But the reason I bring that up is because Elon Musk and Alex Jones got together on a Twitter Spaces yesterday, and I'm sure they had millions of people tuned in. But it was interesting. Again, the people that they put up there were all these people that are, for lack of a better word, you want to call limited hangouts, or people that are telling you some of the truth. So you have Alex Jones, Vivek Ramaswamy, and you had Jack Posobiec and Laura Loomer, and all these people that, you know, sound good some of the time. But the first thing Alex Jones did was basically apologize again for Sandy Hook. And So, I don't know. I don't know what I look at it. It's better. I think it's better to have some truth than with no truth. Right. I mean, what is it? The old poet Tennyson said it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. So it's probably better to have some truth.
Unfortunately, it dilutes it. The lies and deceit mixed in with the truth make it pretty difficult for a lot of people who don't have radar to get through the mess.
Right, and that's the hard part of it because they need somebody to get on there and say, look, you know, you because of the Sandy Hook stuff, you know, we all our rights are threatened because, and I'm not even saying, even if Alex is just naive and he's not even part of the script. Still, you know, he's been prosecuted how many times for the same thing, for disputing a historical event? I mean, that's ridiculous. And charge, and I've said many times, the people that cheer that on because they hate Alex Jones or they hate Trump for the ridiculous prosecution, it doesn't matter about the personalities. They're setting this up so they can prosecute you. When you have Trump and there was a guy in Hollywood recently that was convicted of rape from 25 years ago or something. And, you know, it was a he said, she said. There was no DNA evidence or anything. And, you know, when a woman can come out, you know, decades later, and in the case of Trump's case, he didn't even remember what year it happened. I mean, it's ridiculous. It should have been laughed at in any courtroom, but he was convicted. That sets a terrible precedent. So you and me and anybody else in the alt media, if we ever got big enough to where they were concerned about us, all they'd have to do is find some woman. And, a lot of stuff went on in the 70s and 80s. And, they could just find some woman somewhere and say, oh, yeah, you know, you raped me, you know, at a party back in the 80s. And, what could anybody's defense be? She wouldn't have to put it. And that's what they did to Kavanaugh as well, too. And again, Kavanaugh is this is the guy that led the Vince Foster cover up, one of Trump's typical appointments.
Yes.
But that fiasco, again, that was, again, setting a precedent. And that's one way they're doing it. And something like Alex Jones, when you can have parents claim, because the parents are involved in almost a lot of these incidents, right? So you could theoretically have the 9/11 family start suing people. They could sue my friend Richard Gage or somebody like that, and just say, well, you know, you've harassed me with all this talk about, you know, Building 7 and everything. That hurts me. I've got post-traumatic stress syndrome now, whatever. And because of what happened to Alex Jones, they have precedent for it. And they could do it for anything. Anything that comes along, so those of us that are skeptical about this, I'm always mindful about saying, hey, look, I'm not saying anything definitive at all. I'm just asking questions. And in all these cases, there are questions that should be asked. And Trump's other ridiculous prosecution, I think I've mentioned on this show before, I'm a licensed realtor. And the idea that you could be prosecuted for exaggerating the value of your property, that's a very, first of all, it's obviously not a crime. And secondly, that's an incredibly dangerous precedent because any of us that own property, I mean, if we've ever owned property, they could find a way to get somebody to say, Jeff Rentz told me, you know, his property was worth, you know, $500,000 more than what it really was. Oh, so we got the Trump precedent over here. So people, they don't understand that the Trump and Alex Jones probably too, they may be part of, you know, of the stage here. They may be part of the show, but it's unfortunately it's being done to set precedents for the rest of us. And it's really distressing that this is, you know, happening. And the more I look at it, I just look at this America, how this has unraveled, Jeff, within less than 5 years, really. I'd say, you know, because during the Obama years, I mean, things were, you know, they're starting to unravel because of what that was. It was a celebration of wokeness, celebration of racial identity politics and all that. But it was with Trump. Trump is what started. And if you go back and look at things before 2016 and then after that, it's a world of difference. It's not the same country. And things have, and I was reading today about Pat Buchanan, because I loved Pat Buchanan, and you wonder what happened to him. And I didn't know that he apparently visited Trump in the White House in 2017. And that may have been the last thing he did publicly, because supposedly he told Trump that America was finished. That, you know, that's, and I think that, you know, he wrote The Decline of the Suicide of the West.
Who told Trump the country was finished?
Pat Buchanan.
It was just Pat only. I thought he was, I thought there were a couple of people that told him that. All right, just Pat, yeah. Well,
somebody
okay.
else may have.
All right. Well, Pat is correct. Maybe Pat ducked out because he realized it. He's walking his talk. It is done, so he's not engaging anymore.
Yeah, what could he do? And Pat was very magnanimous to go visit Trump because people that, again, want to understand
correct
what Trump That's is correct. And the enigma of Trump is, remember that, you know, Ross Perot started whatever Ross Perot was. You know, I still have difficulty with him dropping out when he had a chance to win.
Ross was okay until they threatened him. And then
yeah, well,
changed.
that's the story. Yeah,
I tend to believe that. I don't know. It's the only thing I have to grab onto. I think it's correct. He was making a real difference.
He was, and he was. Everything I've learned about him is that he was just in real life. He was an honest man, and he still got 19% of the votes.
You know that now this is not this audience, but if we had the average audience, 75% of it wouldn't know who Ross Perot was.
No, already they've already forgotten in 30 years. Yeah, Perot, he created
45s and under wouldn't know.
They wouldn't. And he came up with the perfect name. I think the Reform Party is a great name for a party that's trying to reform things. It's trying to, you know, to get rid
of
the injustice.
Right to the point. It's great. Right. It's a terrific name. I agree.
Yeah, terrific name. And 96, he only got like 8% of the vote as opposed to 19% in 92. Mm-hmm. But Pat Buchanan came along, and he becomes the only other person besides Perot to be the Reform Party candidate in 2000. And if you remember what happened is Donald Trump, businessman Trump, came along and hated Buchanan. And he tried to stop him.
Jealous as hell.
Yeah, yeah. So, so where was the... And that was before Trump became a conservative. At that point, he was the New York liberal. He'd always been partying with Hillary Clinton and the Clinton. So, it's just...
And Jeffrey Epstein, don't forget that.
Right. And now I hear that, you know, my boy RFK Jr. supposedly had some ties to Epstein. I don't know. Maybe they all did.
He admits to have taken two flights on the plane.
Yeah. So I don't know, man.
I'll
so
bet
many...
you right now there's a video and audio of RFK. I think he's completely controlled and owned by the dark side. I do.
That could explain a lot of behavior, a lot of these people. I talk about, you know, human frailties a lot, especially sex, you know, men with power, you know, they're just, that's the way they abuse it and the way they go after it. And if you have a chance,
not me, speak for yourself. I never abuse my position.
Exactly.
Good Lord.
But what little position we have, let's just say again, The average middle-aged man, if you're told, okay, you know, there's an island paradise here, you go in, and they've got, you know, gorgeous teenage girls there that'll have sex with you. That's going to be a hard proposition for a lot of guys to turn down.
So to speak.
Exactly. And so I think that the proof is in the pudding. Look at all the powerful people that visited there. These are people that, you know, presumably could get anybody they wanted. And yet they're compromised. And I think you're exactly right. I think that's why they talked about, you know, that Epstein had cameras everywhere. And he wasn't the only one. They had other mansions in Hollywood where they would film the guests. And obviously, I think the reason they did it, I mean, they wanted to.
Yeah. RFK admits to two flights. He certainly doesn't talk about where those flights went and what he may or may not have done. You draw your own conclusion. He was in RFK Jr.'s little black book. I've read that too. Is it true?
Yeah,
I don't know, but it probably is.
Yeah,
if he's admitting he took two flights, that's what he's admitted doing. Now, what did he do that didn't take a flight?
Right.
Think about that.
Everything.
Were they partying in Boston somewhere? I don't know.
Right. And again, I try to, you know, when I think of these guys, and again, I just think back to myself in my own misspent youth and what would have my dream would have been of a perfect, you know, life would have been, at, you know, partying all the time and having gorgeous women around. To me, that would have been heaven on earth as a young guy. And I don't know, by the time I was, you know, their age, I don't think I would have thought of it that way, but I don't know if it had never stopped and if that was what I was used to. It's hard to understand, you know, that the mindset of, people like that that can live that lifestyle. So I think that the sins of the flesh are the easiest one to because mm-hmm. most of us are susceptible to that. I mean, as I wrote in a Substack recently, I think, you know, there's and that's why I try to kind of be understanding of people doing that, because I understand that I would be susceptible to that probably too in the right circumstance. Like, you know, if I was president in 1960 and Marilyn Monroe was pursuing me and wanted to have, I mean, how many men could have, you know, turned that down? So I think that you
had to. Here's one over here.
Okay.
No problem for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. I think that, you know, what I look at is the people that do things that I don't understand. Like, I don't think there's any ever excuse, obviously, for, you know, murdering anybody or doing things that really hurt somebody.
Hey, listen.
But I do want
this.
Yeah.
This, Don, the world that we live in now is beyond evil. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to say it. I'm not talking about you good people, but the people who control this planet now and who have deconstructed the level of civility we had reached at one point, mm-hmm. the crushing of morality, the crushing of intellectual competence through educational dumbdown, the addiction to this digital cell phone, social media world, and et cetera, et cetera. This, as you said, this is not the same group of people that were around 25 years ago, 30 years ago. Not at all. There's no, it bears very little, if any, resemblance. Men are estrogen wimps. Women are men in many cases.
Yep.
I mean, the procreation aspect of the species is on the rocks. We know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we've got almost 14 billion injections put into people around the planet. 70% Pfizer, and most of the rest Moderna, J&J, and AZ. And you got a planet that's headed toward an extinction level event.
Yeah, well, you have it, this is the eugenicist dream. The eugenicists have wanted to cull the herd forever, and it looks like when you combine the vaccine and the damage, you know, Naomi Wolf alone did tons of research on the Pfizer tests and documents that show what it was doing to women's reproductive systems. We already know that male testosterone levels, probably from what they're putting in the water and the food, have been dropping precipitously for decades.
Yes.
Now, so you have men with no muscle. I think, what does they say? Like, the average young man today has the testosterone level of what an 80-year-old would have had 50 years ago, or something horrible like that. So I don't know how there's
That's probably true.
Problem. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. All right. Hang on a sec. Take a break and say hello to our sponsors and thank them for being here and making this program possible. And if you are thinking about a last-minute Christmas gift, think Allison C. Get your loved one or your friend or your coworker a bottle of Allison C and say, here, just put this in the medicine cabinet. Or take one a day if you'd like to get through this and help keep our immune systems up and competent, because most of them are being taken down. Anyway, just a little quickie. Be right back with Don after this. Okay, welcome back. Monday, talking with Don, as we usually do every Monday. All right, kicking the can down the road, as it were. We always talk about all kinds of different things. In the meantime, I think the biggest and most important lesson for everyone out there who is trying to figure it out, and I count myself in with you people the same, I'm learning all the time. The slaughter in Gaza, if that doesn't show you who's running the world, nothing will. The impudence, the arrogance of these people just walking in there and killing. We're over 20,000 now. It may be 40. We don't know. People like this. And knowing that no one is going to hold them accountable. What are you going to do? Fine them? They'll just come to Washington and get more money. Yeah. What are they going to do? Slap them on the wrist? There's nothing that they're going to be held accountable for. You need to understand that. They are above, these people are above all laws, and they're answerable to nobody because they do run the show. That's how they're getting away with this. They're going to force these people, going to bomb them until they actually run headlong into Sinai across the border. They're going to force them out. That's the plan.
Yeah.
And not one Arab state has done anything to help except Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. They're the only ones, really. a little bit from the Houthis, but what's that? Capture a ship? All right. But this is another example. This is the U.S.-Israel war of genocide on the Palestinian people. That's what it is. And I count the U.S. at least equally responsible. It's our money that allowed this to happen.
Sure.
We gave them
sure.
all the airplanes, all the jets. We give them all the bombs and munitions and tank shells, bunker busters. It's us. It's us.
Yeah.
Same thing can be said in Ukraine. There would be no Ukraine war against Russia if we had withheld our money. If the communists had withheld your money, there would be no Ukraine war. We are screwed, and they're just raping this country mercilessly.
And there's one way to shut people like you up, and that is to show someone in a public position of power that criticizes Israel and goes against them, and nothing happens to them. I mean, that's
because American politicians, they're all scum. There are maybe 1% who are decent people.
Right.
They're all in there. My dad told me, he said, anyone who seeks public office should be barred from it. The motivation is all wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're bribed, blackmailed, they're financed. Where do their contributions come from? They're almost all Zionist money, corporate money. It's a joke. It's a bad fake. It's a carnival act. It's a fraud. Anyone who takes national public politics seriously is out of the game.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
And just as you saw it during the, they could, at this point, the left especially, the woke left, should consistently be standing up against Israel, because they have been, before this attack happened, the left had really become very pro-Palestine.
Right.
And critical of Israel to a degree, but you can see when push comes to shove, they all back down, except again for the squad and the non-white students on the college campuses. And again, I've remarked on that, how that's an inner inner battle, in the establishment, because they've created these groups, they've empowered these groups with the Great Replacement, the anti-white agenda. I think it's interesting that the only person in public life that had the balls to mention the Great Replacement theory was the brown Vivek Ramaswamy. If you watched him be interviewed by Dana Bash, who was just as bad as it gets. I mean, these people that want to bash Tucker Carlson and everything. Look at the likes of Dana Bash and tell me what you got there. But she was so antagonistic to her. But here's somebody who's white, and Vivek is not white. And he's, arguing with her that there's a great replacement. It's just surrealistic to watch, to see how absurd it is. But that he had the balls to mention that again. And I think that that's about the extent they're going to let any criticism happen. But if they want to stop people that and lots of my supporters, they talk about Jews all the time. And I don't talk about them enough, I guess. I think I talk about them pretty much. But if you want to stop people from theorizing that that Zionists rule America, at least, then you got to show some proof that they don't. Because every time, if anybody steps out of line in the least bit, and I'm talking about Bobby Kennedy Jr., all right. He did was retweeted some of Roger Waters' rather, not really super critical tweets of Israel's treatment of the Palestinians.
They were room temperature stuff, and nothing red hot
about
it.
No, nothing. And so, but as soon as he did, I mean, obviously the world came down on him, and he's waving an Israeli flag.
Got the game figured out, Don. They know how to do it. They know how to do it. They know how to poke the pin in right where no one can see it, but it'll get a result. They run the show. You can't. I haven't voted. I don't remember when I voted last. I do not.
Right.
I don't. I won't do it. I just will not be suckered into this game. It's a uniparty.
Yeah.
It's a Zionist uniparty at that. We're not going to get anything done.
Absolutely.
And the people in Washington are not representing us, nor the Constitution. I mean, who was it? Somebody yesterday said the First Amendment should be done away with to prevent anti-Semitism. I could not believe what I was reading.
Yeah, well, there's millions of Americans who would support it. And this and Americans have always been incredibly stupid about their government. I don't know if you remember, probably 50 years ago, I used to see they would have, and it was always leftists then, because at that time when I was joining the left, they were the ones that were concerned about the First Amendment. Even those communist front, supposed communist front, the Red Pinko organizations, they were named like the First Amendment Committee. Things like that. They were excessively concerned with it because they were the ones that, the right at that time wanted to stop them from talking. And a lot of it had to do with sex and stopping nudity and language and all that, Lenny Bruce. But things obviously have changed completely, and now the left embraces censorship. But at that time, they would ask the average conservative, upstanding white person on the street at the time. They would describe some of the language from the First Amendment, and they all thought it was a communist, or they thought it was a communist document. And that was then, when they were much smarter, much more educated. Nowadays, you could just fast forward, and you would have millions of people that believe it's some kind of Nazi or white supremacist thing. It's shifted, but
they have
however you look
no
at it,
idea.
they don't like it, and free speech has never been more under assault. The Bill of Rights has never been more unpopular, and I am scared that they'll do something like that, because, and if they do, I don't think, in fact, I pretty much know. I think we would be outnumbered. I think if you had a public referendum, should we allow hate speech under the First Amendment? It would lose. It would lose, and they would not even need to have vote fraud, because that's how
I think
controlled
you're
the
right.
American public. Yeah,
I think you're
they
right.
would. I mean, just the
Yeah.
idea that when civil libertarians that existed at the time, when they didn't fight this concept of hate speech enough, and I remember when I first heard, I was saying, what's hate speech? What? But now it's become ingrained. The left uses it all the time. I've had how many people have said, well, free speech, hate speech is not free speech. What are you talking? And there's nobody that comes back saying, what do you mean? Hate's a human emotion. Who determines what are you talking about? You can't hate speech. It's hate speech you don't like. That's the whole purpose of the First Amendment, is to defend speech you don't like. And you have to stand up for it, because you don't want them to censor your own speech. And that was the whole idea of George Mason and Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson, the people that fought for the First Amendment and made the Constitution palatable. Because I have lots of friends and supporters who all preferred the Articles of Confederation, and really the best minds of the time is Patrick Henry. He didn't go to the Constitutional Convention. He said he smelt a rat in Philadelphia. And I think that, they didn't like giving that kind of concentrated power to the central government, but they made it palatable when James Madison allowed them to put the Bill of Rights in, which protected it. But without that Bill of Rights, it's a problematic document, because it does give a lot more power to the central government than they wanted, the founders wanted. But so if, when that's under assault, but this is where we are now. I mean, they're prosecuting people for hate speech. They're putting people in prison for lengthy sentences. I'm going to have another January 6th guy on my show next Friday, and I try to talk to as many people as I can. Some of them have made plea deals, but all of them are, they're being frightened into, making some kind of deals if they're not thrown into prison for years for nothing. And again, nobody, and again, Vivek, all I can say is, I think I told you this. I saw an interview of him, and there was Hidden History. My book was behind him on the bookshelf. So I don't know. This guy may be a phony, but apparently he has my book.
Oh,
So
good.
if that's the Yeah, so if
That's
that's the
very
case,
flattering. That's nice.
how can I not like him? But he again, he's very circumspect about it. He's not radical at all, but maybe he's getting out as much as he can. But first of all, he's so much more impressive than the other candidates. He probably has three times the IQ level. I mean, so look at those people. They cannot possibly debate, compete with him intellectually. He's very smooth, and he's saying a lot of good things. And he does talk about free speech, and he talks about the January 6th people. And unlike the other Republic cucks on stage, he recognizes what a threat that is. And he was talking, that's what he was arguing with that crazy Dana Bash over the video footage that has been released, that again shows, d demonstrably shows what we've all known, and that the police officers waved those people inside. And he kept saying, how can you be prosecuting people for doing something that the police allow them to do and urge them to do? And that's a very good question. No other candidate's doing that, least of all Donald Trump. And so, but to watch how, you know, Dana Bash reacted to that, and she represented those millions of people that are on the other side, that you can't reach them. It doesn't matter if they see video of the cops waving them aside. The first question they should ask, if this was really a great crime, then why haven't you identified and arrested those officers? Because they're infiltrators. They're insurrectionists, you know, after the fact. Nobody wants to even know who they are, just like they don't want to know who Ray Epps was, or even to prosecute him. So I think that's one of the, and if you had a real opposition party, which we don't, the Republicans would be, they would be basing, every one of those candidates would be basing their candidacy on the January 6th political prisoners and what a travesty it was, and that it is okay to protest the result of election. But here they had their leader, Donald Trump, who's being prosecuted for it. So again, they've established the precedent. So in the future, if we decide that, you know, hey, that's, you know, something that I think my guy was robbed, you know, it looks like, you know, okay, you know, we got the Trump precedent over here. You're going to be prosecuted. Election denial. What is it called? Yeah, I think it's election denial, which again, they're bringing the Holocaust denial into election denial, COVID denial.
Is that a new term? I haven't heard that one.
Oh yeah,
election
denial. Yeah, because the liberal press, I've seen many references to MAGA candidates. They say, "Oh, he's an election denier," which is exactly like saying he's a Holocaust denier, or you know, he's a COVID denier. And again, what happens is, and that's why I objected to from the beginning, using a mental.
How about
Holocaust
researcher or a COVID researcher? Whatever happened to that concept? You're either
just
black or you're white. See, you can't. There's no.
Or just expressing his opinion. You know, you can, people can denigrate Jesus and the billions of Christians or whatever around the world. That's very offensive to them, but that's okay. And I'm not saying they should be able. You should be able to, you know, to investigate anything and question everything, and speculate. But there shouldn't be any areas that are off limits. Now, in the past, we know, you know, at least internationally, somehow it wasn't in America, ironically, but almost every other country in the world has laws against Holocaust denial. And again, that's set a dangerous precedent for now, but now America is going to go way beyond that. Ironically, not having a law against Holocaust denial yet, but they're going to be making it basically illegal to question a lot of things. I mean, they may make a law about questioning Sandy Hook. They've already said they're saying you can't question anything about COVID. I mean, they were taking to this day on my YouTube channel, I can have shows about everything. I mean, anything, no matter how controversial, and YouTube keeps it up. But if I have a show about COVID, I have to take it down right away. Otherwise, they'll suspend my channel. So they're very committed.
What should that tell everyone? That this is an overwhelmingly powerful bioweapon campaign from the very top. That's what it should tell you. This is all being managed. It's hard for me to look at politics as anything less than a secondhand dirtbag freak show. Yeah. I have no interest in it at all. These people, I've said this for decades, these people do not represent me or you.
No.
They get in there and they immediately try and dive into the money stream and line their nest for the rest of their lives. And they get it. They get it. They're bought off before they even get there. So why even pay attention to this? I know we have to because it's a mechanism and it's got power and it can cause people grief. I get that.
Yeah.
But honestly, morally, geopolitically, it's a fraud. The whole thing.
Yeah. Given the state of the corruption and the stuff we know that these people, most of these people are guilty of, just, you know, horrific things that would land the average person in jail, knowing how bad they are and how corrupt they are, how easily they can be bought off. And they're betrothed to Israel, they're betrothed to various big corporations, to woke politics, but they can be bought off.
Distill it down to what it is, they're betrothed to money. I don't care where it comes from.
So knowing that, why would anyone believe that these people would allow a system in place where they could be fired.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine the average CEO that would say, you know what, hey, we're going to let the employees vote on whether or not I continue as CEO. That's right. What this is like. There's so the idea, and that's why you have 96% or so of incumbents that get reelected every election, which is a lower turnover rate than the Politburo had at the height of the Soviet Union. And every American should be ashamed of that. Every year when I, you know, and I still trudge on, I don't know, I know they're not counting the vote probably, but if there's no line at all, which there usually is, and I run in and out of there just on the off chance, maybe they'll count it. But when I do, just to look and see what's the, you know, people on the ballot, I've always been shocked. And this goes back to when I, you know, was much more naive when I first was starting to vote in the late 70s. And I would always be amazed on the ballot how many candidates were I wanted to vote against all incumbents pretty much. And a lot of times you can't vote against an incumbent because they're running unopposed. Now, there's nothing.
Essentially, did not oppose because their opposition is completely weak. It's a token. It's all tokenism. Yeah. Anyway, it's a freak show, a carny act. I want nothing to do with it. That's just me talking. And I think at the local level, you can make a difference if you want to get involved. But again, how many people at the local level, really, a cross-section of the community you're living in or the town, how many people really are activists? Really? Yeah. Activists for the best sense of the word. Go ahead.
And I found out just from, I'm not much of a joiner, but I loved sports and I loved to volunteer. And so I coached all my kids' teams for a decade. And I saw just in that you only get a certain type of person. You have dads like me that will volunteer. But if you like to be like the league director or especially the commissioner of one of those leagues, it's a certain type of personality. And it's a personality that wants power, even though it's so little power, but they love to wield it. Exactly. And I was constantly, and so it's in that, but the problem is, like I would say when I was complaining about these people, well, I guess there's only so much I can say because I didn't volunteer to be commissioner. And so that's the problem, is that the personalities that aren't like that, they don't volunteer. So it's the same thing for anything. The personalities like that don't tend to.
You'd be better off with a draft system in terms of political service to your country. Don, you're going to serve as a congressman for 2 years, whether you have a deferment or not. Let's talk about it, and we'll find out. But we want you to serve your constituents, your district.
Yeah, I think
we'd be much better off. And then you have term limits. You can do two terms, Don, and then you got to step out for at least one, and you may come back again, whatever. Completely corrupt. Totally. We have a fraud president who is mentally incompetent, who really should be in Shady Acres. That's it. He should be given 24-hour care. There are two body doubles that I've identified. I think there's a story up about that now. It's a fake. It's all phony. All of it. Very difficult for people to believe that. I understand. I'm not knocking people who do. But I can go to and invite all of you to go to a higher level and look down on the bigger picture. Widen that panorama out, and you will see, if you really look, what the hell's going on here. And it's not good.
It's definitely. And I think that's why Donald Trump's promise to drain the swamp resonated with so many people, because that's the only thing that
Madison Avenue Company came up with that theme, but it was perfect.
It was perfect, but the thing is,
what did he do in 4 years? What did he do in 4 years?
Nothing.
He filled the swamp with even more scum.
Not a single prosecution of any of his opponents. But that's the thing, that would have to happen for anybody to have the slightest trace of confidence in the system. The system has to respond to the unbelievable amount of official corruption and the unbelievable number of high crimes and misdemeanors being committed by most of our representatives and other people that are, you know, powerful in the country. And it's not. I mean, even somebody like Hunter Biden, he's the son of a president. But the idea that, you know, what is on his laptop is apparently on his laptop.
He's a crook. He's a crooked son of a crook. And
right.
Worse.
And they can't.
Worse.
Yeah, and we can't even get him prosecuted.
Look how quickly they impeached Trump or brought charges up.
Yes,
no problem.
It was ridiculous. And that was, again, that's, I think, part of the Trump and Stein project, I think, was to have him symbolically represent the people that were trying to reform things, even though, as you said, he didn't do anything. But symbolically, that's what his role was. So he's the great reformer. He's the opposition. He's trying to stop this. So we're going to keep going after him. We're going to attack him relentlessly. And then after his office, we're going to break all precedent and start prosecuting him for the most ridiculous non-crimes imaginable. So that, but that's until the people that are committing these crimes, the Hillary Clintons of the world, is, it's like a mob leader. Her and
how
Bill
many
Clinton.
Of them have ever been held accountable?
No, not at all. And until they are, no one should have respect for the law. No one should have respect for our system. And we all should tremble in fear that we would ever have to appear before any of these TikTok judges, the kind that Alex Jones had. Or right. Trump has. I mean, would anybody? I mean, just right. Think of going into court and having somebody like that
stay
determine
away
your
from
fate.
The legal system, stay away from the medical
yes.
system,
yes.
take care
yes.
of yourself, keep your head down, and you might have a chance.
Yeah, that's all we can do. But you and I, of course, run the risk just by speaking out as we do. And I mean, I've made myself unemployable in this marketplace because of what I say and write. I mean, I've
you've done
never...
your employment. You don't need to work anymore like that.
Well,
35
yeah, no,
years.
Yeah.
For the
well, more,
health
yeah.
establishment. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
You've done it. Quick note on Piers Morgan, another sleazy dirtbag. There's so many of them. He claims that this guy. Oh, who is this? I don't even know who the guy is. Andrew Tate. I know the name, but
oh yeah, yeah,
he's an influencer,
yeah.
and he shaves his
yes,
head and he's got
he
this
is.
Image.
Yes, yes,
well,
yeah.
Piers Morgan is now in a shouting match. This is like think of WWE, right?
Yeah, yeah,
World
yeah.
Wrestling Entertainment. That's yeah. what politics is. Piers Morgan has fired back after Andrew Tate claimed to have given Piers COVID. He gave it to him during an interview, right? And Piers, this moron, I guess he went to the hospital, as you said. Mm-hmm. He said that, thank you for your concern, Andrew. I think he's tongue-in-cheeking it here. Ironically, if I'd had another COVID booster, I wouldn't have caught the damn thing and wouldn't be feeling so rough.
Yeah, they've worked
get
so
another
well.
Shot, Piers. Please get another shot. God, these people. Unbelievable. It all is crazy. A final word for anybody out there who is one of your big fans. You've got a lot of them. Anything you want to add that we didn't get to?
I appreciate hearing from all of you. And I do hear, I'm sure I'll get some feedback from tonight's show. I pretty much always hear from people and they'll tell me what I should have said or didn't say, or they like what I said or whatever. So it's great. I appreciate everyone out there listening.
Good. Very good. All right. You be well. Talk to you next week. Thanks.
You too. Thanks. Take care.
Okay. Donald Jeffries, one of our great authors. All right. We'll be right back with a whole lot ahead. Stay tuned.